Villanova wins the NCAA championship. We have MLB opening day reactions, NBA news, and LA Kings color commentator on the radio, Darrell Evans, joins us. Stay tuned. It's Bonnie Jill Laughlin's The Weekly Pass.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I know this song is corny, ladies and gentlemen, but this is a tradition in college basketball. After every single tournament, they play this game.
Oh.
This song.
Yeah.
With highlights of the tournament. And it's like 5 minutes right after the tournament. And I think it's pretty...
That's me. Volume's on, too.
Oh, look at that.
What's up, guys? Well, he's turning off that volume. Yeah. I'm Becky Sotero. You can find me on all social media at Becky Sotero. And we have a very special guest we'll be introducing very soon.
Teaser. What's up? I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. Bonnie Jill is in San Francisco. She was watching her Giants lose to the CL Mariners today.
Ouch!
Unfortunately, she's not here with us. Unfortunately, she had to watch her Giants lose. She traveled all the way up north for no reason whatsoever. Right.
You said twice now that she had to watch them lose.
She's cringing somewhere. I think she's watching the show very disappointed that I'm mentioning the fact that her Giants lost for the third time in about 10, 15 seconds. But it is what it is, Bonnie. You should be here.
You should. You're missing one heck of a show. We are holding down the fort for Bonnie, and we are so privileged to be here tonight.
Yes, but let's talk about the NCAA championship. That's probably the biggest story in sports right now. Villanova wins their second championship in 3 years.
They do.
Absolutely dominating. You had them.
I had them. My bracket was blown to bits, y'all. But you know what? My team came out as champions.
We had to add up all the points. We had a bracket challenge.
We did.
Here's the thing. I did well on the first like two rounds, and you picking the champion, it depends how the point system works. We might have to evaluate how that worked.
And I do remember a bet about a pie. So that needs to happen. And all by the way, guys, we are live on the chat. So join us. And if you haven't followed us on Twitter, follow us at BJL Weekly Pass.
Yes. But congratulations to Villanova. I just want to give a shout out to Villanova right quick because they are actually what college basketball to me should be about. You know, they're not one. There's very few, actually, I don't think they have a one and done. They might have one and done, which is, if people don't know, a one and done is someone who goes to play collegiate basketball for 1 year and then they immediately head to the NBA. Mm-hmm. Programs like Kentucky do that. Duke now does that. They didn't used to do that. Now they just recruit these talent and then they ship them out the next year.
Right.
Villanova, they groom players. They develop players.
Who do you think's going?
To
NBA.
Well, from Villanova?
Mm-hmm.
Mikal Bridges, maybe, but he's the only one. My point is being that they don't recruit these players just to have them for 1 year and then ship them out. They want to have these kids graduate, spend all 4 years developing correctly. And that's what I like about Villanova. And on top of that, they play a very good team game. If you watch them play, they won every game by more than 12 points, which is absurd.
First team since 2009 with North Carolina, double digits every game.
That's absurd. Yeah. That is absurd. And they move the ball. Everyone could shoot. No egos whatsoever. They had the National Player of the Year in Brunson, but at the same time, they still, he didn't have an ego. Like, there was no ego on that team. Jay Wright is a phenomenal coach. I think he's finally getting national recognition.
I agree.
And it was just a pleasure to watch them. Mm-hmm. I wish I knew more about them so I would have picked them with you. Well, but you knew better than I did, Becky.
I just, you know, I woke up one morning and the gods told me it's Nova. They are one heck of a team. And I think that their humility, their teamwork, everything came together for them. And I just couldn't have thought of a better team. I know you won Kansas.
I saw Kansas play a couple times. Same thing. I'm attracted to teams that move the basketball, that can shoot the basketball, but also who are very selfless. They look out for each other. Don't play superstar basketball or hero ball, I like to call it, where it's like one-on-one and all that good stuff. And Villanova is the epitome of what college basketball should be. So I'm happy a team like them won.
How did you feel about Michigan not making it, or Michigan making it and not Kansas against Nova?
Well, Michigan, they're a good team. They're very good defensively. They're one of the more blue blood programs in college basketball. So it's nice to see them. I think they're very underrated every year. For some reason, people forget about them. I think Michigan State and Tom Izzo basically dominate the narrative in college basketball when it comes to the state of Michigan now, for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understand it, but you know, Michigan is a traditional powerhouse. So it's nice to see them in the finals again. They lost to Louisville a couple years ago and then they lost again. They fell just short, but it was nice to see them.
Yeah, man, not a bad year for Philly so far, I'm not going to lie.
What's going on in Philadelphia?
Philadelphia's just doing backflips in the streets.
Yeah, we got to ask Daryl later if the Flyers have any chance of winning the
Stanley
Cup.
I can't wait to hear that.
Listen, I went to college near Philadelphia. If the Flyers win the Cup, forget it.
I don't know. That place, that city's on fire.
The same year the Eagles win the Cup, forget it. But Dante DiVincenzo, most outstanding player, 31 points. Unbelievable. I don't know if you watched the game, Becky, or saw highlights, but
I saw
the
highlights
shots this guy was taking was like video game. Mm-hmm. Like absolute video game. Threes off the dribble in people's faces.
Yeah.
No regard, no conscience.
Not a bad game to be having your best game.
Unbelievable. They call him Delaware's Michael Jordan, which I find interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah. But Delaware's like this big of a state.
I know, but you know what? They need a Michael Jordan.
Every state needs a Michael Jordan.
Oh, my goodness. Well, what else is going on? We got MLB opening day thoughts coming up.
You picked the Pirates.
I picked the Pirates in NL Central. 4-0. I'm just saying.
Hold on. Listen. Becky picked the Pirates to win NL Central. And me
and the Eagles to win the Super Bowl. But so I'm not doing too bad.
Now, it's early. But the Pirates are 4-0. And I remember when you picked the Pirates, I was like, Becky, come on. And we got on you. And you're like, listen, I'm from Pittsburgh, or I have family in Pittsburgh.
Well, I'm from Portland, Oregon, but for whatever reason on this green earth, it's all Pittsburgh teams. The Penguins, the Pirates, Steelers. I just love me some, terrible towel.
And it's unbelievable they're doing this without Andrew McCutchen, who's on the Giants now. Garrett Cole, who was their ace last year, he's gone. Everyone thought they were going to be terrible. Mm-hmm. And this is why I love sports.
Me too. Can never. So unpredictable.
It really is. It's so unpredictable. The Yankees, they got off to they're 2-2. They're 3-2. They need the one today. You have teams like the Cubs who are struggling out the gate. So you never really know. I know baseball is 162 games, which is a long
season.
Do you think it's too early to even like make statements like this? Like, we're talking after four games out of a 162 game schedule. Is it?
But I mean, how much do you feel out of the gate? It plays a part in the rest of the season.
I'm not really sure. I mean, in baseball, you see teams get off to hot starts all the time or slow starts, and it just flips.
Sure.
Like, I know,
like hockey.
For instance, like football is 16 games, right? And a lot of people compare baseball season to football season and say every 10 games is like one National Football League game. Mm-hmm. So I try to take it 10 games at a time. Right now, 24 games. It's very, very early. I mean, the Astros are 4-1. They're national champions. The Nationals are 4-0. So it's kind of like, all right, these good teams are showing out. And you want to take them seriously, but what do you make of someone like the Pirates or the Cubs who are struggling right now? It's very interesting. I don't know. Baseball's a long season.
So early to tell. I mean, I think, and we all know that it comes down to the injuries, obviously.
That is true.
So
how your pitching staff holds up.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Bonnie, I think the Giants are 2-3. We're just throwing darts at
you. Are throwing darts.
I think I'm bitter. Bonnie, you should be here,
I know.
Bonnie.
We miss you so much, Bonnie Jo.
What's the chat saying right now?
Oh, the chat. Let me get in there. I've been so engrossed in our conversation.
We got some baseball fans. I know I saw one person tweet at you, Becky, about the Detroit Tigers.
They did, yes.
I was really happy about that.
Oh, man, we got Star Drew in the house. We've got Fantasy Stats Guru in the house.
What's going on, guys?
Keep coming in. Oh, man, coming in hot. We've got some hockey fans for Daryl.
Nice.
What kind of pie for your face? They're asking on the chat.
Let's vote. All right, so let's go. Apple, right?
That one's gonna hurt because the crust is hard.
Okay, so what are you thinking? Cherry?
I'm feeling like lemon meringue. I want to be nice to you. It's nice and soft. It'll give you a nice little exfoliation with the crust.
Let's pick four, and then let's make a poll on Twitter about it.
You guys, we're gonna make a poll, and we want to hear your ideas on the chat. Let's go lemon meringue.
Okay.
Let's go apple if we really want to get mean, and then a boysenberry because that stains. That stains good. And then what do you want for your fourth?
I don't know. Pumpkin? No, pumpkin would be disgusting. Something like disgusting, though, so it's funny. Like, this has to be a punishment.
Yeah.
You can't go easy on me.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think boysenberry or some kind of cherry is a punishment because that stains. Lemon cheesecake. All right,
Lemon
Star Drew.
Cheesecake. Fine.
Right. Okay. So those will be our four.
All right. We got to put it up on Twitter.
We will. Lemon cheesecake.
Right.
We have lemon meringue, boysenberry, or some kind of marionberry stainage. And then we had Apple.
Okay, so
it's happening
at BJL Weekly Pass on Twitter. Follow us. We're gonna put up the poll. I guess I'm getting a pie to the face next week.
We are. And we're getting Daryl's take on this too. For sure.
Absolutely.
We are 100%
absolutely getting Daryl's take. Before we get into hockey, just some NBA news as well.
Yes, please.
Playoffs are wrapping up. I'm not wrapping up. They're about to start.
Yeah.
And so be honest with me. Like, have you been watching a little bit or no?
Yes.
So who do you like right now?
Okay. Portland, of course.
Portland's looking good.
Portland's looking good.
I know you're not just saying that because you're from Portland.
No, yeah. I think that they're going to give, I believe, the East a little bit of a run for their money if the Rockets don't, and obviously if Golden State doesn't.
Yeah, so. I mean, right now they're looking like the third best team in the West, and I thought they were kind of frauds. I'm not going to lie, for a while. They went on a big winning streak, but, you know, Damian Lillard is one of the best point guards in the league.
And McCollum,
McCollum, too. I mean, they have arguably one of the best backcourts in the league, and they started finally playing defense. That was the problem with Portland. Yeah. They a lot of isolation ball, but they also don't really play too much defense.
Sure.
So I the way the Warriors are injured right now, they seem to be a little...
That's what I'm saying. If Houston can't step up, I think it's going to be Portland that gives some trouble.
I think they're kind of a dark horse right now because I don't believe in the Thunder.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the way that team was built. I think Russell Westbrook, Carmelo Anthony, Paul George, I think that was a disaster from the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't see him making any type of noise. I think New Orleans, they lost to Marcus Cousins. They're not there yet. Right. The Spurs aren't.
I was going to say they're on a hot streak right now. They're playing the Clips tonight.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to take that game?
Probably the Spurs. I've had to guess. They just beat the Rockets, and the Spurs are the Spurs. But the problem is they don't have Kawhi Leonard these playoffs. They're not a threat to anybody. Mm-hmm. I think it's really between the Warriors, the Rockets, and the Blazers.
Portland, yeah.
And I'm actually glad you brought that up because I was going to bring it up.
Good.
But it's true. Like I think people are kind of sleeping on the Blazers right now, which I find really interesting.
And they are a little bit of a sleeper team in terms of playoffs once they get in the playoffs.
Yeah. And Damian Lillard's clutch.
Yeah.
And then on the East, you think anybody could beat the Cavs?
I want to say yeah.
Yeah.
But my answer is no.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're just too strong.
Yeah. Toronto right now is the one seed if you guys have been paying attention.
Is that a surprise? I mean, they really snuck up there.
Yeah. They've been good for the past few years. Mm-hmm. Them being the one seed is kind of surprising because everyone thought Cleveland would run away with it. And then Boston got off to a really hot start this year. I'm not a big believer in the Raptors. They seem to always fold in the playoffs, but they changed their style of basketball this year. So they're shooting more three-pointers. Mm-hmm. They're more run and gun. DeMar DeRozan's playing well. Kyle Lowry's playing well. And they have a really good bench this year.
They do have a really good – they changed things up for sure on the bench.
So, I mean, it's possible. If there's a year right now to catch the Cavs and LeBron James, it's this year.
Okay.
It really is.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to that.
What's your pick for Eastern?
I still got the Warriors versus the Cavs. At the end of the day, I think the cream will rise to the top. And we're going to have
I'm hoping for Blazers and Cavs. So
I hope so, too. But but Becky, I know that you hooked us up with a special guest today. We're going to dedicate most of our show to hockey because we haven't done that. We haven't done that. And Becky deserves to talk hockey. So, Becky, who did you bring in today?
We have a legend in our house, my friends, the legendary Darrell Evans, NHL, LA Kings radio commentator, scored the game-winning goal for the Miracle in Manchester. We're coming up on a 36-year anniversary, April 10th. Wow! I have a special video for you to watch before we introduce our special guest.
On April 10th, 1982, the Kings completed the largest comeback in NHL playoff history in front of their hometown fans at the Forum. Down 5-0 against the heavily favored Edmonton Oilers, the Kings scored all five of their goals in the third period to force overtime.
Shooting! He scores! Zone Hardy with a drive and a save by George Smith! Score!
And he scores!
He's a rebound score! The Kings have tied the game! 5 seconds to go.
Darrell Evans scored to complete the comeback.
On the draw, shot by Evans, he scored!
The instant classic was named the Miracle on Manchester, giving the Kings a 2-1 lead in the best of five series. Two games later, the Kings beat the Gretzky-led Oilers to advance to the next round.
So good. Darrell Evans, welcome. Thank you so much. I know. Does that moment ever get old? I mean, it's just one of the best moments in NHL history.
Well, first of all, it's great to be here. And no, it never gets old. You know, I think it's really something I've learned to appreciate more so over the years than I did actually at that time. I mean, it was a special night. But I think now recognizing how special that moment was and being that it's been the greatest comeback in Stanley Cup playoff history, it's something that I really cherish and something I'll never forget.
So special. Such an honor having you here. Now, as we've been talking about even before the show, there's so much happening at the NHL, particularly in the Pacific, in the West. We're talking 1 point between teams making it in the playoffs. Can you just give a summary to some of the people who don't know about what's happening in the NHL right now?
Well, you know, the season comes to an end this Saturday, and there's going to be a makeup game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. That was a game that needed to be rescheduled because of weather during the season. Doesn't affect what's going to happen in the Pacific Division, but, you know, it's been a crazy year. Mm-hmm. Every year we think the NHL can't get any closer, but the parity with the way things are in the NHL right now, it's going to go right down to the wire, and I don't think we're going to know until Saturday night, till all the games are complete.
Sure.
Exactly where everybody's going to stand, but Kings have put themselves in a pretty good position the last couple of games, having won the last game against Colorado. Right now they're sitting in the third spot in mm-hmm. the Pacific Division. Anaheim has a game in hand, mm-hmm. which they'll make up tomorrow night. If Anaheim happen to win their game, they flip-flop with the Kings again, putting the Kings back in the first wild card spot. But the Kings are in a position right now where if they acquire a point in the remaining two games, mm-hmm. or if Colorado right now does not or only gets 1 point, mm-hmm. loses a point in their mm-hmm. games, then the Kings would have their spot. So it's going down to the wire, but Kings have you know, earned themselves a position where they control their own destiny.
It's so good. And, I mean, it's just been a shuffle game between the Ducks and the Kings. So it's kind of fitting because it's a rival. Now, how does the wild card come into play? So I know a lot of people, the wild card is fairly new in the last, you know, few years to some people. Yep. So explain the wild card process and how that works as well.
Well, there's top three teams from each division. Mm-hmm. So right now, the way it sits, it would be the Vegas Golden Knights, San Jose, who's in second place, the Kings holding down third. Mm-hmm. On the other side, it's Nashville along with Winnipeg and Minnesota. They secured the top three positions. So now it comes down to the next best two records in the West Conference.
Sure.
They can be both from one division. You could have five teams there from one division in the playoffs. So it's very tight. Right now it's down to basically nine teams competing, mm-hmm. you know, for the position. Some of the positions have been solidified, but there's one position, you know, somebody's going to fall short. And right now it can be the Kings. It can be Anaheim. You know, it could be St. Louis,
but
Colorado.
But the Kings just need 1 point,
but
correct?
The Kings need a point, okay. Correct. But mathematically they have not secured a spot yet.
Sure.
So, you know, Kings have two games left. A couple of teams have three games left. Mm-hmm. So everybody's watching the schedule on every given night, and every point is huge. So, again, it's you know, you take care of your own business, and you put yourself in a good spot.
Sure, and they had a big win last night. Hopefully, I'm sure all of L.A. was watching that. Oh, my goodness. How was Staples Center?
It was great. You know, I think the Kings did a great job in coming out and playing the type of game that they needed. The night before, the Avalanche played mm-hmm. and got beat in the extra period. So the Kings come in against a team that was desperate. The youngest team in the National Hockey League, so they don't have a lot of experience on their roster, mm-hmm. but you knew that you were going to get a hard game from them. Their top line is as good as any line in the NHL, you know, with McKinnon, Landeskog, and Rantanen. They've been on fire all year. So the Kings did a good job of containing them, and you know, they end up sweeping the series against the Avalanche, which not too many teams can say they did this year. The Kings beat them 2-1, 7-1 in Colorado last week, and then 3-1 last night. So they did a great job in winning that series and putting themselves in the position where they're at.
Right. Well, to touch on that point, for those of you who don't know, Daryl is also a Fox Sports West commentator when they're on the road, and so you get to interview a lot of the players. Having been a player yourself, what is it about their resilience? I feel like that is just the word for the Kings is their resilience. They just bounce back. They never stop persevering. What talk about that philosophy that is so successful.
Well, I think it's something that you build as a culture. And you go back to, you know, when Dave Taylor, the players that they mm-hmm. drafted, and then Dean Lombardi, you know, building on that philosophy. I think the Kings, for a number of years, back in the years when I played, it was always looking for free agents. And, you mm-hmm. know, it was almost like retirement contracts coming to Los Angeles. And the unfortunate thing was you weren't getting the guys in the prime of their career. You usually get them on the downside of things. Mm-hmm. So they started to build through the draft. You look at some of the players that the Kings have acquired through the draft, including today's roster with, you know, guys like Kopitar, Brown. You know, these are all Doughty.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are all, you know, first picks for, you know, for the Kings. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the Kings have done a good job at retaining those picks and creating that culture. So when you create that culture and then you have success with it, as the Kings did in 2012 and 2014.
Yeah, they did.
Now it's a belief system. And the young players that you bring in, they feed off of that. It's something that it's, again, you feel it when you come in. And the Kings leadership group, again, the guys I just mentioned, you know, between the pipes and Jonathan Quick, you know, he's got ice in his veins. I mean, you put him in any situation, he's going to thrive. Back in the blue line, Drew Doughty, arguably the best defenseman in the National Hockey League, should win the Norris Trophy this year. Yeah. He's tied a career high already with points. So he's got a couple of games to surpass that. Right. But more importantly, the way he plays defense, I think that's something is underestimated. He's as good a defenseman as there is in the National Hockey League. Andrei Kopitar having a career year up front.
Hart Trophy?
Yeah, Hart Trophy candidate.
Yeah.
And again, if Kings get into the postseason, there's no reason that they should keep that away from him. He's got a career high in goals with 35, career high in points with 91. Now you take a look at the other guys around. Jeff Carter, who has 13 goals in 20 games this year. He missed 55 games with a laceration to his leg. So he's bounced back and, you know, regained top form.
Yes, he has.
Alec Martinez, a solid year. Guys up front, Trevor Lewis, who is part of the two cup teams, career highs in goals and in points. So they've got a lot of guys. Dustin Brown bounced back. You look
incredible
at his numbers.
Incredible season for Dustin.
He's got a team high plus 31 on the season. He's just, you know, he's rejuvenated. You know, he's playing alongside Kopitar again. And because of that, when you have a core of players like that, it's easy to spread that leadership out amongst the guys, and that's why I think the Kings have the success that they have, because you don't have to rely upon one guy to do it. There's other guys that can kind of lift it and pull on a rope on any given night, and that's what they feed off of.
Yeah, such a team effort. It's just incredible. Now, also, for people who don't know, Daryl volunteers a lot of his time outside of commentating. So I met Daryl when I was on the LA Kings ice crew. He was our skate coach. Something you should know about him is that Daryl turns even the most novice skater into an incredible, incredible skater. You run the beginning hockey clinics for the Kings. You host the 5K every single season at the beginning of the year, which benefits the Hydrocephalus Foundation. Can you talk about why is this so important to you, all this volunteering?
Well, I think when we first came to Los Angeles, growing up in a hockey hotbed in Toronto and Canada, you know, where hockey's, basically, it's life there.
Yeah.
So coming here was, something that was on the bottom of the totem pole. You look at all the other sports, baseball, basketball, football, those all thrive in this marketplace.
Sure.
And, the Kings had some big moments, prior to me arriving in Los Angeles. And then, they had some big years. They had some, 100-point seasons. The Triple Crown line was here. And then after that, Gretzky came on board. But, there was still a lot missing within the community. So I think that it was something that attracted me. I've been working youth hockey back in Toronto since I was 10 years old. And I got involved in it immediately here and just watched the game grow. And now to see where it's at today, I mean, the amount of leagues that they're at, I think when you look at what the Kings are responsible for, the teams in the National Hockey League being San Jose, Anaheim, team in Arizona now, the team in Vegas. The Kings, all have a hand in this. So, and that's been something that, you have to do on a daily basis.
Right.
It's getting out into the community, educating the people on the game, and then more importantly, putting sticks in kids' hands. And when you go to the draft in June, and now you hear the names, these kids being drafted from California, it's very rewarding. But it's something that I love to do. I love to see people improve upon things they're doing. And that's from the charity aspect. I think it's important that you recognize that you're able to leave an impression, and you have to go with it. And I try to get involved as much as I possibly can. I'm fortunate I don't require a lot of sleep right now, so I try to take advantage of it and use my time to my best. And that's why I get involved with as many foundations and things that I can help.
And the run club,
the run club. We meet once a week.
Fit to be a King run club. I mean, the list just goes on and on. You are such a prominent figure in that organization, so thank you for that. A couple things. First, Bark Madness. What do you think?
Yeah, Bark Madness.
we were talking about madness. I got to know who your favorite is here.
Well, there was a lot of favorites. You get the little cutie dogs. And then you get the big.
It's all about Muzzin for me.
Yeah, and that was, I think I kind of took a liking to Daryl Muzzin, aside from the name.
Of course.
But it was funny, just a couple of days ago, we had a little event at the training center on Sunday, and the St. Bernard Rescue Foundation was there. And there was about 10 or 12 big St. Bernards in the parking lot.
Sure.
Daryl being included in that group. And there was one that was about 180 pounds. It was just like a baby bear. But I had a friend that grew up having one, and I've always liked those dogs. I mean, it's just they're an attractive dog, just holding on to them. So it was kind of cool. But I think
the race on the ice was something else.
Oh, that they just got going out there. But the little ones, you see those little ones going out there, and I think it's great now after you have it for a few years. You see different things, different approaches by the players, by the dogs, trying to train the dogs in different ways. So curious to see what they come up with next year to separate.
Wait,
it
who
from
still
this
won the first year? Who won last year? I don't remember. We'll find out. Kings fans, get back to us. But yeah, I'm curious who's going to take the third the third one there. And then I really wanted to ask you about goalie interference. This has been a big topic. They changed the rules a little bit. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think they finally put the rules in a place now where they're going to be some consistency. I think going back to the beginning of the season, you know, when we talked to coaches from different teams, everybody, their hands just went up in the air. They didn't know what to expect. Even we as broadcasters, you know, you call in a game, you usually have a pretty good feel. They're going to go this way. They'll lean this way.
Sure.
Because of this or because of that. But we were inconsistent as well, just because it was too much on a human feeling as opposed to a little bit of black and white, and there was just so much gray. Sure. So what they've done is they brought former officials now being part of the group in Toronto in the
Great.
You know, back at headquarters there. And they have an influence as to what's going on. So I think now they've got collectively, they've got a group of minds there that take a look at things. And I think there's a lot more consistency. They implemented it prior to getting ready for the playoffs. So they've had it in place for about a week. So hopefully come playoff time, you hate to see something like that decide a game, you know, or something that is not clear. And, you know, it's tough in a game that moves so fast. And we're talking, you know, a fraction of an inch. So, you know, more times than not, I mean, there's no intentional, there's no malicious intent by the officials.
Of course
not.
You know,
it's the angle that you
get
sometimes.
And a lot of stoppages, though. I mean, that affects the game, the players, the coaches, everything.
Yeah, and I think if they can eliminate the amount of time that they have to stop for, the better off it is. Like, you know, I'd like to see them say, okay, you've got 60 seconds to reverse something or change it or make a decision.
Sure. Interesting.
If you can't make that decision in 60 seconds, then you start trying to make yourself believe that you're trying to find something.
That's a good point.
And you can train your mind to do that. Like, after a while, you'll sit there and say, okay, yeah, maybe you're right. But you shouldn't have to convince yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it should jump out at you.
That's human nature, actually. I feel like that's a good point. I kind of want to talk playoff hockey.
Let's talk playoff hockey.
All right. So the Kings right now, they play the Sharks. If the playoffs started today, they played four times this year. Sharks taking 3 out of 4 matchups. How do you feel about that matchup? And would you like to see the Kings perhaps play somebody else, maybe slip down a spot or perhaps go up a spot?
Well, I think you always try to finish as high as you possibly can in the standings. And let's face it, right now, you know, even if you finish as high as you can, San Jose was winning their game tonight. So I'm not sure the Kings wouldn't be able to surpass San Jose and, let's say, take over the number two spot. So you're basically looking at 3-4 or, let's say, 5 to make the playoffs. Again, being separated by a point or two. I think from a selfish reason, I'd like to see the Kings match up with the Vegas Golden Knights in the first round. I think it would be a good matchup from the standpoint of the hockey out here in the West Coast, and again, what the Kings had to do with Vegas being in place. And I also think Vegas, who've had an outstanding year, they've set all kinds of records for, you know, for expansion teams coming in. They've done so many things, you know, remarkably. They've got a great management team, great coaching staff, that it's just... that group has not played together in postseason play.
Sure.
They haven't experienced it as a group. They've got a lot of players that have been there, you know, and so I think that would be a good matchup, you know, and it would start in Vegas. And I like the way the Kings play on the road. They've got a winning record on the road. Their record on the road is actually better than it is on home ice.
Oh, we'll look at that.
So good.
And if you go back to 2012, when the Kings played in the playoffs, capturing their first Stanley Cup, if I'm not mistaken, they were 10-1 on the road that year. So, you know, they're a team that knows how to play on the road. So from that standpoint, I like that. But I think right now the way it's set up and the way kind of everybody feels in the National Hockey League, anybody but the Nashville Predators. I don't think anybody wants to play that.
No.
Just give them a bye. Just, you know, move them on to the next round or something.
Well,
nobody wants to play.
Who would you
them.
Like Nashville to play so that it makes it a little cushier?
Yeah, you know, unfortunately, another team that's playing well in that division has been very good this year, too, is Winnipeg. And you'd like to see maybe those two guys go head-to-head right off. But
Please,
it's not going to happen because they're 1-2.
Right.
But those are two teams. You know, that division has really excelled this
year.
They have. And it's hard to believe that they've done that without the presence of the Chicago Blackhawks. You know, finally, you know, the Blackhawks, I think it's 10 years, first time that they're not going to see postseason play. So there's a, you know, a common character that you've seen in the postseason and a threat to win cups. So that removes one piece out of the puzzle there. But those two teams in Nashville and Winnipeg, you know, they're, I'm very curious to see the way they perform in the postseason.
Well, you brought up Philly. You want to ask about Philly?
Well, Philly's the East. But I actually want to ask a question about hockey because hockey's interesting. Becky tells us all the time that the Kings, they made it in as an 8 seed and won the Stanley Cup. So if you were to pick a dark horse in the West, like a team that's going to sneak in maybe 6, 7, 8 seed, and could possibly win the cup. Is there a team like that this year, or is that every year where it's like, you know, you never know, it's hockey.
It really is every year.
Yeah.
again, a lot of it to place in, you know, and to come into place is, you know, and you talked about it when you were, you know, on the show before, is injuries, the health of your hockey club, the opponents, who you're going to play against. Like, you sit there and you look at, there's going to be 16 teams that are going to go to that, you know, to that next stage. Maybe you don't match up well against this team, but somebody might take care of that team for you.
Yeah.
And you might get a favorable matchup. So you have to kind of play it out as it goes. But I think first and foremost is the health of your hockey club. You know, if you've got access to your full complement of players and your core players, it puts you in a better position. And I know with the Kings, having no Chicago now, the Kings are in a pretty good position where they've got as many guys with experience in the Stanley Cup as pretty much every team in the league.
Okay. And another cliche that I hear, I mean, I'm a casual hockey fan, is that you ride the hot goaltender. Like, a hot goalie can bring you through the playoffs. Now, what goalie in the Western Conference do you think can actually carry their squad into, like, the finals or something like that?
Well, I think when you look at any team, every team usually has one guy they're going to. You're not going to be bouncing back and forth. If you're going between goaltenders in the playoffs, something's not right, you know, unless it's an injury or something like that. But if you're bouncing back because of, you know, performance issues, then you're probably going to be in a tough spot. I think when you look at Nashville, Pekka Rinne, he's got the ability to be able to carry a team on his shoulder. He's a big body out there. There's no doubt my favorite choice would be Jonathan Quick because of the experience that he has, and he thrives in those situations. The bigger the stage, the better he gets. And you can see it the last couple of weeks. I mean, he just becomes the great wall in that net. He's such a competitor. He's got a pulse for what's going on on the ice in all areas. So those would probably be the top two goaltenders that I would look at to be able to step up and be the difference makers to kind of carry their teams and maybe be the difference in games where your team maybe didn't perform quite the way they needed to. Those be big save here or there could be the difference.
Well, to give some fairness to the East, I know obviously Philly, it ain't looking good. But talk about who you would love to see in the East against the West for the Stanley Cup Final.
Well, I think when you look at the East, and I know you you've been talking about Philadelphia. They've had a great year, and they've come around in a lot of ways. You know, they haven't solidified their spot yet. They took a tough one on the chin tonight. But they're a team with some great skill, and you know, they've got some guys that have taken their careers to the next step. I think there's still a little bit of a question mark and with regards to goaltending, but if a goaltender can get hot, and again, it comes down to matchups. I think the Washington Capitals are a team that have to make some noise for all the all the good regular seasons that they've had.
So good.
Alexander Ovechkin leading the league with 46 goals. You know, he had 600 goals this year and 1,100 points. You know, he's going to eclipse every
Gretzky
record
possibly. You know, possibly,
you never know if he decides to play long enough. But you know, he's going to eclipse hit for his position, power play goals. I think the record's like about 270. He's got, I think, it's about 40 or something power play goals off the all time record. That's something that he'll eventually take over. But I think the one thing he'd like to trade a lot of that in for be the Stanley Cup. So there's a little bit of heat on them this year. They're a good hockey club. They're built all the way from the backside out. You can't understate the Pittsburgh Penguins because of the experience they've had. Back-to-back championships.
They're dangerous in the postseason.
And they've got dynamic players. Sidney Crosby, arguably one of the best players in the game today. Evgeny Malkin, 42 goals on the season. Guys like Hornquist and these type of guys. They've got a lot of guys that play in big games. So they're going to be a tough team as well. But the Boston Bruins, you look at the way that they're playing.
And the Lightning.
The Lightning, Lightning don't seem to be playing their best hockey right now.
Okay.
Vasilevskiy's had a great year in net. I think he's got 42 wins in the season. Kucherov started off on fire. He and Stamkos opened the season with 11-game point streaks. First time, I think, that's happened to two players have opened up the season. And there's a lot there. They've got a great team. Hedman back in the blue line. But I think that you're probably at the end of the day, again, depending on how the matchups, I mean, right off the bat, you might even see, let's say Toronto or Boston matchup or Tampa and Toronto matchup. I think anybody that comes across Toronto might get surprised. Toronto might be a little bit of a dark horse. They've got some firepower there. If they can get some goaltending out of Anderson, they could be a team to watch.
Well, I'll tell you what, those Kings are giving me a heart attack. But, I mean, their 3-on-3 is untouchable in the league. Their PK is untouchable. I mean, they are just slaying it this season with that 3-on-3.
Well, the 3-on-3 has been great for the Kings. And I think you know, everybody say, oh, you know, like great skaters. And that. It comes down to your goaltender as well.
Absolutely.
You know, when you've got a guy that thrives on that stage, and you're looking at the best players, you know, in the game playing in that situation. And
yeah.
I think the Kings, when you put out your top six players, and when the Kings had their full contingency, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's Kopitar, Brown up front, Carter up front, you got Doughty Martinez back in the blue line with Muzzin. And then you got Toffoli, Pearson, and these type of guys. Mm-hmm. Kings have a good group to put out in those situations. That disappears, we all know, come playoff
right,
time.
Right.
But I think
should they bring that back for, or
no,
should they
no,
have it?
No, no, okay. No. You cannot end a playoff game like that.
Okay. Yeah. I like no, it. No, I like no, it. No. I
but,
I
mean, that's people, like flipping a coin.
Yeah.
People have asked if that's something that would be integrated into the playoffs. So
yeah, you know, it's almost like when you look at, you know, Olympic hockey and things like that. And it just no.
I totally
don't go there, girlfriend.
I know.
Okay,
I won't
we gotta leave it.
I'm with you on that one. Yeah.
You know, but. I think the other two things that you mentioned, and these are one of the reasons that kind of separate the Kings from a lot of teams, and best goals against in the NHL.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fewest goals against allowed. Number one penalty kill.
Yep, yep.
And the old saying is, the old cliche, you know, offense wins you games, defense wins you championships.
Yep. Mm.
So if the Kings, and the Kings have scored more goals this year than they have in a number of years.
Yes.
They're in on pace to maybe eclipse, I think it's about 10 or 12 mm-hmm. years that they'll have scored as many goals as they've had. So that little extra offensive production, the game is different than it was a few years ago, but yet the Kings, still a backbone of hockey club, is their defensive play.
It's
when
so
you
good.
Mention the Kings, it's how good they are defensively.
It's so good.
And it's because their top players take pride in that part of the game.
Well, we're going to have a quick game of...
Oh, gee.
A quick little game of fun before we wrap. If you don't know
this or that,
we are going to do this or that, but I actually want to throw a little tosser question here because what the world may not know about Darrell Evans are his suits. Darrell is famous for his suit. So follow him on Instagram. We'll give you that in a minute. But if you had to evacuate your home, okay, he lives on the beach, so a tsunami is about to hit. If you were about to evacuate your home, which suit would you grab to save?
I would have to say the one I was wearing.
You're in your jogging outfit.
I'm in my birthday suit. Okay, I got you.
We won't go there.
I would have to say it would have to be my new one, the purple one.
Okay.
My newest one, the purple
one. The one you wore last night.
The one I wore last
night,
yeah.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Okay, so I had to, that's tell me something you don't know. So we now know that. All right, this or that, rapid fire, you ready?
Oh, gee.
All right, Wayne Gretzky or Gordie Howe?
Gordie Howe.
All right, sushi or chocolate?
Chocolate.
Sunrise?
You know me.
I do know you, but I try to tailor these. Sunrise or sunset?
Sunrise.
Vegas or Vatican?
Vegas.
Cruise control or Leadfoot?
Leadfoot.
Podcast or radio?
Podcast.
Running, sand or cement?
Cement.
Resolution or revolution?
I'm going to go with revolution.
Ooh.
Love it. Movie theater or Netflix?
Movie theater.
All right. I'm going to throw one out there. Kings or Ducks? Kings always. Oh, Darrell, thank you so
much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Before you leave, Stanley Cup final matchup.
Yeah.
Who do you got? I mean, I know a lot of it depends on matchups.
Yeah, a lot of it depends on matchups.
Who's your two teams?
I think right now, if I were going to pick two teams, I'm going to give you two from the East and two from the West.
Ooh.
I think that the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to find a way to get there.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I'm going to say that the Washington Capitals might find their way to the
really?
Stage this year. Yeah, but again, they may run across each other right off the bat. So,
yeah.
But I just got a sneaky feeling that Washington's ready to take the next step. I'm not sure whether or not they can win it. But
yeah.
And I think coming out of the West, I think, again, getting to the promised land first, getting to the postseason, without the Chicago Blackhawks around, I think the Kings and the Nashville Predators.
Predators.
So good.
All right.
Darrell, tell everybody where they can find you on social media. At Darrell Evans, right?
That's where they can find me. You just told them.
You'll catch Becky's Tara on his story. Darrell's first story.
I know. I made his first Insta story
awesome.
Tonight.
Bring tears to my eyes.
Darrell, thank you for joining us. Thank
my
you for
pleasure.
Educating
for
our
having
viewers
me on.
About hockey.
Such a pleasure.
I feel like I learned a lot. I love playoff hockey.
So good.
And that's not me just saying that. Playoff hockey is probably the most exciting thing in sports.
It's really addicting. It is really addicting.
People who don't even watch hockey will watch playoff hockey, so I'm excited for that.
Yep.
Bonnie will be back next Tuesday.
That's
not worry.
Right
She'll be back in this seat. I'll be back with Becky. Once again, Daryl, thank you very much.
Yes. Pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Josh Rodriguez. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Rodriguez_. Becky, where can they find you?
You can find me at Becky Sotero on all social media. Thank you guys for hanging out in the live chat. We saw you. You're awesome. Thank you, Daryl. We'll see you next week, y'all.
All right. Take care, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.